living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
You're going to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. So was the time change hard? It actually helped me. So I'm like, you know, a day closer now that the time's changed. So praise the Lord for that. At the beginning of the year, we dubbed this year at Living Streams that we were on mission. On mission at Living Streams. And really what we're meaning by that is that we as a church together are going to do some things. We're going to take some initiatives that are focused on sharing the gospel with people who don't know. And so that's what we're doing. And our first initiative was India. And we ask you to join in prayer, and we can't thank you enough for those prayers. God heard them. He answered them. We experienced those answers. So we praise the Lord for your faithfulness, and we're looking forward to telling you more about it. But as we come back now to Indiana, that's what we want to do. We want to change our focus from India to Indiana. And the mission is the same. Location change, but the mission is the same. We don't want to forget India in our prayers. Keep that up. God's at work in India, and there's many people there working for Him that we want to remember in our prayers. But God has planted us right here. He's put a big magnet next to us named Meyer, and He's going to use it for His glory. So we're changing focus to share the kingdom of God with people who don't know Jesus, because there's so many people here that don't know Him yet. You know, Easter is just 5 weeks away. Right? Right, Joyce? 5 weeks, right? Whoa! It's good. It's good. You know, I know you've been on vacation, so it's now you're my backup. Now you know you're back online here. Easter's 5 weeks away, and so that's our next initiative. And next week we'll have some invitations for you to take home with you to begin to hand those out to people. So start praying about who God would want you to invite to church on Easter. Pray that they would accept those invitations, and pray that their hearts would be ready to receive Christ as Savior, because we're going to celebrate the resurrection and believe God's going to do some of that resurrecting on Easter Sunday. Now, it's been a while since we've been in the book of Luke together, so we're actually going to be restarting a series called History. This time it's volume 4. And our hope, our aim, is to bring His story to life in our life and make some more history. And so we're going to jump back in here. You know, the passage of scripture that we're going to read here, it just was the next thing in line, but it's perfect for where we are as a church. You'd have thought I planned this, but I didn't. Just giving credit to the Holy Spirit. Let's read Luke 9, 1 to 9. And He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, boy, we thank you so much for your word today, a treasure that it is for us, the instructions that it gives us for life, the direction and purpose that it gives us. And we pray that you'd feed us today with your word, that you'd stir it in our hearts, plant it in our hearts, bear fruit in our lives with it. We trust that your spirit is at work as I share today. And I pray these words of my mouth and meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, did you know that there are organizations in the world that have made it their mission to reenact history? History reenactment groups. Such one is the Northwest Territory Alliance. It's a group that meets, or it's based in Illinois. It meets all over the Midwest, and they're about reenacting events from the Revolutionary War. And so they set up events all over the place, and they go to those different locations, and they put on their authentic uniforms, and they pick up their replica weapons, and they line up for battle and start firing at each other. There's games to play, parades to watch, all kinds of activities to give, because they draw tons of people to those events. Now, people that want to learn and experience more about what it was like, what life was like when our country was being formed. And so some of those people that come to those events, they get really excited about it, and they want to go even further, and they become members of these organizations, and they make those history reenactments more a regular part of their life. Well, guess what? We are part of a history reenactment group called the church. We are here to bring to life his story for the world. And we're hoping to draw tons of people who need to learn and experience more of Jesus. So in these verses, there's a purpose, a plan, and a people to bring to life. Let's see how they might encourage us to do it. First of all, purpose to bring to life. In the first two verses, Jesus huddles together his disciples and he gives them their marching orders and abilities to carry them out. He told them, go and proclaim the kingdom of God and heal. And then he gives them power and authority to be able to do what he's called them to do. Power is the ability to do something, and authority is the right and responsibility to do it. Jesus is sending out his disciples on the very first ever mission trip. They're going out as apostles here. They're being commissioned as apostles, and they're going to do the very same ministry that Jesus had been doing in his life. That's their purpose, to preach and to heal, to minister to the physical and the spiritual needs of people. So when we think about reenacting this history, has Jesus given us what we need to be able to carry out the mission, preach and heal in his name? Yes, indeed he has. It's different than what was going on here in Luke 9, because they're becoming apostles, the first to be sent out, the first official representatives of Jesus in the world. But it's also the same. Jesus has given them permission to act in his name, and he gave them power to show that their kingdom message was credible. He does the same for us. Do we have a similar authority? Yes, we do. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors of Christ. We're not apostles, but we are disciples, and that means that we represent Jesus wherever we go. And he also gives us the right and responsibility to share about the kingdom of God with people who don't know about it. Another version at the end of that says to plead with people to be reconciled to God, to implore them. So we have authority. What about power? Has Jesus given us power? Yes, he has. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel has power, and he's given us to that, to share. You know, see, if you're lacking power in your Christian life, it's maybe because you're not bringing your purpose to life in your life. Maybe the gospel has been left behind in your life, somewhere in your past decisions. But let me tell you, it is a present day reality that you need to preach to yourself every single day. You're not getting saved every single day. You get saved once. But every single day, we need to hear the gospel and preach it to ourselves. We can't be perfect. We aren't going to be perfect. We're never going to be good enough. We need Jesus, and God has given us everything through him to be able to live this life. We're accepted even when we don't deserve it. That's the grace of God. It's available to us every single day. And that same power that changed your heart will change someone else's heart when you share it. Bring it to life. We also receive power from the Holy Spirit. There's fruits and there's gifts to edify the church and glorify God. Fruits from the Spirit, gifts from the Spirit. There's also a deep spiritual well that's there for us of strength and grace. So when we're weak, we ask God to fill us with the Spirit and we receive his strength. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:16, believers would be strengthened with power from the Holy Spirit in their inner being. Why do they need that? Why do we need that? Because of our purpose, to preach and to heal. Now, there are many churches and ministries and people who fall on one side or the other of the spiritual and physical activities that make up our purpose. And so some people are kind of ministering all on the spiritual needs for people, and some are all on the physical needs for people. And perhaps we could say that there might be more working on the physical than the spiritual, because that work's kind of accepted by everyone, and it's a lot easier to see. I mean, you can see physical needs. But listen, we're not bringing our purpose to life unless we're doing both things, preaching and healing, spiritual things and physical things. We want to proclaim the kingdom of God to hearts, and we want to have impact for the kingdom of God in their physical lives. Now, you might think, oh man, I shouldn't have come to church today. I mean, I'm never going to be much of a preacher. But I want you to know, every single day, you're preaching. You're preaching every single day. The question is, what's the message people are getting? Because see, your life, it speaks about something. Does it preach the kingdom of God? Does it show people what you believe? How the things that you do, the money that you spend, the words that you say, all of this speaks or can speak about the kingdom of God. The way that we obey God speaks about his kingdom. The way that we worship God, the way that we say this book is his word and it has authority over us, and we're going to do it not because we're trying to get into heaven, but because he's our God and we want to worship him. We live in our lives like that. Our repentance, our love, our desires and our dreams, all of these things have the ability to communicate the kingdom of God to people who don't know him. All of that. But don't forget this. Proclaiming is best done with the tongue. We need to use our words to proclaim the kingdom of God to people. We need to say Jesus' name to people. And, you know, everybody, you can have a conversation with people all day long about spiritual things. You can talk about God all day long. But you bring Jesus up and things get exciting. Bring up his name in conversation. There's one really effective way to become a better proclaimer to people in your life. And that is by praying for them. Praying for them. You can proclaim the kingdom of God to people by praying for them. You would be surprised how many people have never been prayed over. You know, most people will accept praying before they'll accept preaching. And so, you know, next time you're in a conversation and a struggle comes up, or a big decision, or a health concern, don't just say, you know what, I'll pray for you. actually pull somebody aside and say, I want to pray for you right now. And in your prayer, you can proclaim the kingdom of God. You can talk to the Heavenly Father who they don't know, who is sovereign and loving and good and ready to pour out his grace on them, no matter who they are. You can talk to them on their behalf and ask God to intervene. And when you finish loving them that way, finish the prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important to speak his name. His name has power. And now, second, you can do this with anybody, can't you? You can do it with a close friend, or you can do it with somebody that's at the store that you don't even know. Now you're thinking, you got to be kidding me. Really? I don't know how to pray. Well, there's good news. You can learn. You can learn. You know where to learn? Fresh Encounter, end of the month. It happens at the end of every month. You come here and you learn how to pray. Make a commitment today to come to Fresh Encounter and start praying. Learn how to pray. I'm telling you, it's the most fundamental need in our Christian life. That we would be able to pray with one another and preach the kingdom of God out there by praying for people. And then when you start learning, you'll feel a little more confident. Now, here's another thing that's good news about that. When you pray with somebody who doesn't go to church or doesn't really have faith, you know, it's so much more effective when you pray using regular words. You know what I mean? Not like church words, but regular words. When you just have a conversation with God, you're preaching in that prayer more effective to them to proclaim the kingdom of God. So really, the only way you can get this wrong is by not doing it. We're missing opportunities. You can bring your purpose to life in this life, expressing your faith, hope, and love through prayer. You can do this. You can. Now, after you pray, if there's a physical need there that you can meet in someone's life, give yourself to it. You know, James told us in chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, you know, if a brother or sister is in need, if he needs clothes or needs food, you know, don't just say, you know, go in peace, stay warm, hope you get something to eat. What good is that? Well, that's dead faith. We want a living faith. We want to show up in people's lives. So bring your purpose to life. You know, over the last several weeks, I've seen history come to life as I've watched Pastor Makwan serve in India. I mean, he is a machine, a gospel machine, loving people. Wasn't a day that went by where he wasn't proclaiming the kingdom of God and talking about Jesus to somebody who didn't know it. And that includes the flight over to India. He met two pilots. Both of them were studying the Bible, going to preach in India. And he was sharing. There's Indians all over the plane. And I'm watching Netflix and he's preaching the gospel to people. It was beautiful. One night we arrived very late at a hotel. And we had just served at one of the house churches in Junagadh. And we were all pretty tired. I mean, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And the guy said, we're going to take you to the hotel. So he starts taking us there. And I mean, it's a good hour, 90 minutes. The town lights are going away. There's no light anywhere. And we're all thinking, where is he taking us? You know? So we pull up next to this field that's all dirt, and it's got a driveway that's lined at the front with some white rocks. And they were like, here it is. I'm like, where is it? So we pull in this dirt road, we drive up over this ridge, and lo and behold, we come upon a resort in the middle of the countryside of India. And Mike and I were just overwhelmed by the grace of God that was being shown to us in these uptown accommodations. I'm talking honeymoon suite. Right? And so, man, we were like, oh, yeah. Great bathroom, you know, just grace of God being shown. So we went to bed. We were, oh, this is great. So in the morning, he comes to get us. Pastor Makwan comes around and wakes us up. and he takes us out, and he wants to introduce us to the two people that run the place. Here's a picture of them. And then he proceeds to tell us that last night, while we were sleeping and slacking off, he was sharing the gospel with these two people, and they became our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah. And I was thinking, I want to be more like that. I want to lead a church that's becoming more like Pastor McQuan. Now, understand, I don't expect you to be Pastor McQuan. There's only one of those. There's many, actually, there's a lot of them in India. There's a lot of Pastor McQuans in India. But there's only one here, and God has uniquely gifted him for the work that he's given him to do. And people, I mean, he can say just about anybody to people, and they'll put a smile on their face and sit down and tell me about Jesus. That's pretty awesome. But we want to have the same purpose in our lives. We want to figure out how to bring that to life. How can we preach the kingdom of God? How can we meet physical needs in the lives of people? Bring your purpose to life. Verses 3 to 5, we learn about a plan to bring to life. Jesus gives instructions for how to live carrying out their purpose. And you could call the plan deliberate dependence. Deliberate dependence. He says, when you go, don't take anything with you that you need. You know, don't take along clothes or extra clothes. Don't take along food or money. You don't need that. Just go to homes, and when they welcome you in, stay there, and that's your ministry center for operations right there. And then when you leave the town, leave from that place. We're not going in, and we're not just hitting all the good homes, getting fed, because it's not about us. No, we stay in one place and love on people that we can as they come. So there's deliberate dependence. See, for the disciples to carry out their purpose, they needed to be able to trust God like they never had before. And so Jesus leads him into a deliberate, dependent lifestyle, because that's how you learn to trust God. That's how you learn. You know, just coming back from India, I got a fresh perspective on deliberate dependence. See, in India for us, it was dependence by default. I mean, there was nothing we could do but depend. We couldn't eat by ourselves. We couldn't go anywhere by ourselves. We couldn't serve by ourselves. We were totally dependent on Pastor McQuan and the people there and the Lord providing through them to take care of us. And so we were received in homes. We were fed. We were given places to rest. Always led to an air-conditioned room to lay down before we preached. And we saw all of that as God's good grace to us when we were there. Many answers to prayers. Now coming back to the U.S., see, what we've done is we've come back to independence. I mean, I can eat what I want. I can drive again. You know, I can just do what I want to do. I can take care of myself. And so what we need to do is practice some deliberate dependence so our faith will grow. See, we need to be able to trust God just like the disciples did. We're going to bring that purpose to life. We need to have faith. And faith gets weak when you don't exercise it. And we live in a world, I mean, it's a great country. I love our country. But it helps us. I mean, we can all pretty much be pretty independent. We can do what we want to do. We can take care of ourselves. And really, what we need to do is practice some deliberate dependence so we're trusting God for something else other than what happens when we die. Now, it's not easy to do this. We don't have to take the disciples' plan as prescriptive for us. But we want to take that deliberate dependence idea and apply it to our lives somehow. And I can tell you one of the ways to do that, and it's probably the most effective way that I know to do this, and that is to grow in the grace of giving to God. Grow in the grace of giving to God. Give to Him in such a way that it causes you to depend on Him for something in your life. Now, you figure out what that looks like for your family. You know, I was thinking, we do the faith promising. It's very much this. You You know, how we support our missionaries. We trust God for an amount of money to give to us. Now here's a way that you can practice deliberate dependence with the faith promise. You can say, God, I'll give you $500 or maybe even $5,000. And even if you've got it in the bank, leave it there and wait for him to provide it. Just wait for him. He will. Now, giving the money in the bank, that's good giving. But that's worship, you know, that's sacrificial. This is about faith. This is about God providing. It's about learning that he will provide for you. And in our culture, money is so available to us, to so many of us. And you know what Jesus says about money? You know, you can't have your heart. Where your treasure is, it's coming. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know how? Just pay it ahead. Pay it on ahead to the kingdom. And give it to God. And just see what he'll do in your life. Try this. Tithe on your gross pay for 1 month. And just see what God will do. Just see. He is faithful. His promises are true. I can testify. I wish I could show you the numbers in our budget. God is faithful. You can trust him. Trust him like that. Grow in the grace of giving. Now, we can also practice this by not immersing ourselves in the culture. You know, that our lives are so consumed with this life. 1 Peter chapter 2 refers to believers as aliens and strangers in this world. You know, I've just spent two and a half weeks being an alien and a stranger in a foreign land. So it's these words are hitting me. When I was there, I wasn't all wrapped up in the political affairs of India. I wasn't worried about their social problems. I was there for one reason alone, and that was to preach and to heal. We wanted to be about the work God had given us to do. We weren't interested in sightseeing. We weren't interested in buying gifts. We were there to serve God. That's being an alien and stranger in the world. So we must be careful how much of this world we consume. It's all available to us. Everything, you know, we can have as much as we want. We can be totally consumed with this world. But we've got to be careful how much of the entertainment world and the sports world and the political world that we integrate into our life. And so now this is not about, you know, this is the way walking in. I'm talking about living a life that will help you trust God. That will give you focus. You know, basically what Jesus is saying here. Travel light. Travel light. Don't get bogged down in the things that the culture weighs on you. You can't really do anything about them anyway. Offload them onto God. Care about things that are more than things that are just going to end when this life is over. Put your energy and effort into things that are going to last forever. And there's only two things. Souls of men and the Word of God. Give your life to that and you won't be sorry. Jesus also told his disciples to make some deliberate dust. So he says, if people in a home or a town don't receive your message, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Now, that doesn't sound very Jesus-like, does it? That's not what we're used to hearing. But this is more about the disciples and their mission than it was about the people that they were testifying against. What this did is it gives the disciples a way to transfer responsibility of the rejection of people of their message from themselves to God. So they're washing their hands of people and they're saying, God, we're going to trust you with their spiritual welfare and we're moving on. That's what Jesus was instructing them to do. Let God take care of them. You move on. You know, and the reason we need to do that is because rejection is something that is very difficult to take. Rejection is. It can be so difficult and discouraging to keep going when you watch people and they're living in unbelief or apathy toward God. And that can have an impact on your carrying out your purpose, bringing this plan to life. And so we want to be able, at times, to move on from people, and that's okay. We don't want to let someone else's response to the gospel keep us from growing in and going forward the kingdom. And so Jesus gives you a way to do that. So there's a plan. Deliberate dependence. Walking by faith for us. Something we can apply. And deliberate death. Something to help us keep going when we're rejected by men. So bring it to life. Then there's people. People to bring to life. Verses 6 to 9 gives us this glimpse of the partnership that we enter into with God when it comes to fulfilling the purpose and living out the plan. The disciples says that the disciples departed and they went everywhere preaching and healing. Did you know that your church name is behind this? You are the living streams. And we come together here to be reminded or receive the power and authority from Jesus. And then we send you out as a living stream to flow into the lives of people to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. To do those things. It's not just about going to church. It's about growing the kingdom. And so there's people out there that you will get to see this week that I never will. People who don't know Christ. And so when you get sent out that door, you want to think, I'm a missionary getting sent out on a mission to people out there. I want to show you a picture. I met this man in the middle at a gas station. We were just there filling up, get some gas. The guy on the left there, his name is B2 Ancor. It's Pastor McQuan's nephew. He was one of our drivers. And in the car that we drove around in, it had the name of the ministry, Bartimaeus Center for the Blind, and had a cross on there. So that guy saw the emblem on the car and knew that we were Christians, and he wanted to talk to us about it. He wanted to tell us that he was a believer and that he was there not just to run the gas station, but he was there to witness for the Lord. The owners of the gas station, I think if I got this right through translation, he told us that the owners told them after people leave, when they get done filling up and they're on their way out, we want you employees to give them an Islamic thank you. A customary saying. Don't know what that is, but this guy said, all I say is, praise the Lord. He knows how to do this. He knows how to bring his purpose to life. He puts his job at risk. To share about Christ, to point people to him. So where's everywhere? So the disciples parted and they went everywhere. Where is everywhere? Work, school, neighborhood, family gatherings, parties you go to, civic organizations you're involved in. That's everywhere. There's people out there everywhere to bring to life. Now, I know that could be overwhelming, but you want to see the flip side of this partnership. God is already there, and he's already working to draw people to himself. He's already there. You can see that with what happened with Herod in the last few verses. He heard about all these rumors about Jesus, and he's perplexed. He's like, people are saying John the Baptist come back from the dead. Well, I killed him. Who is this guy? Who is he? And the very last few words, and he sought to meet him. I'm telling you, that doesn't happen unless the Spirit of God is drawing someone. God was at work in Herod's life to get him to hear the gospel. And he's out there working right now, working on people's hearts that we're going to run into. And we want to partner with him to bring them to life. Here's another picture for you. This is in a town called Gadara. And it was after our first open-air gospel meeting where we partnered with churches when we went. And so they put these events on. They invited people to come. Well, this night we got moved inside the church. And so I kind of got this feeling that I would be sharing the gospel with people who knew it pretty well. And so when I am in that circumstance, I always remember the old hymn, I love to tell the story. You know, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And that always gives me the heart to share the gospel over and over. And so that's what I did. I shared the gospel. The questions for life message, if you remember. Where did I come from? Where did all this come from? And so I was preaching that message, and then I, at the end of those messages, I always passed it off to Pastor McQuan. He would come up and he would give the invitation. And I always just pray during that time. Not there to count hands that go up. I'm just trusting God to do the work. So afterwards, he told me three, he made it hard on him. It wasn't just raising your hand. It was, you got to stand up in this crowd if you want to receive Christ, if you want to make a commitment to Christ as Savior. And three people stood up. And so we praise the Lord for that. But afterwards, we walk outside, and this man in the middle there, his name's Hammond, he comes up to me, and he tells me that very day, he asked his boss, who's on the other side of me, he asked him, why would God create me? And that question was in the message. I answered that question. Why would God create you? Because he wanted you. Because he wants to know you and you to know him. And he said when he heard that, something happened inside of him. And he comes from a Hindu family. Believing in Jesus means he's leaving his family. And that man, his boss, is a Christian. And he's the one who he asked the question to. So he was like, man, God is working here. I can't believe you answered that question. You just asked me today. And we couldn't either. So we rejoiced over him. They came 60 miles to be at this event. And that's about a 4-hour trip in India. So we just rejoiced over Hammond and what God was doing there. I don't know if he's a believer, but we rejoiced anyway, because God was certainly working. So we're not in this alone. God is at work out there. We're joining him. Just like we went and joined him in India with the work there. He's working right here. Right here in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools. He's working right here. And there's people that need to be brought to life. Let's have our worship team come back up. So we're on mission. As a church, focusing our efforts on sharing the gospel, bringing people under the hearing of the gospel with our lives, through our church. I don't care how we do it. Let's just do it. What do you say? Should we do it? Let's bring it to life. Let's do it together. I know that this is a challenge for us, but I want you to know it's a challenge for any human being who's been born again to share the gospel. It's just a challenge. It's a challenge in India. The church is struggling there just like it is here to share the gospel. And so it's tough. But we have what we need. The Holy Spirit. And so we need to pray. And we need to offer ourselves to God. And say, Lord, here I am. Send me. And then we need to believe. And then we need to go. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, that is our prayer, that you build your kingdom here. And we ask and desire that you might start with each one of us. Lord, just do a work in us. Change the atmosphere in us to focus our eyes on you, to bringing your purpose to life in our life, to living by faith, to seeing, looking for people who you're working to bring to life. Thank you, Lord, that you are out in front of us, that we are following you. This is your plan, your heart. And so give us eyes to see people there, out there in the world that we'll meet. Give us words to say. Give us faith to believe. Give us power and give us fruit. Bring a harvest in through us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.